More of our neighbors are hungry, and more of our neighbors are in need. Let's talk about the role of organized generosity. Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A South Dakota philanthropy group that connects donors with nonprofits is offering a new tool to make those connections a bit easier. The Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation has published a holiday guide. CEO Andy Patterson says expectations are rising for local giving as communities strive to respond to some really urgent needs. So I asked him about building capacity for giving when government programs are becoming increasingly unreliable.
We get to work with really generous people. We also get to hear from a lot of organizations that have needs. So yeah, we're kind of in the middle of that day in, day out.
So how do you weather the ups and downs?
There are some weeks where it's a little heavy to hear about all of the needs. And that probably a reminder of what donors feel too. Yeah. You know, it can be just almost overwhelming sometimes to watch the news or read about how many needs are out there and to know that there are a lot of people that are suffering at the moment.
When you think about your area, about the Sioux Falls region, though, yeah. And you think of the past few decades of philanthropy and philanthropic yeah. partnerships, what comes to your mind as far as success stories and the way that people yeah. responding to needs, whether they're urgent needs or whether they're long-term planning yeah. needs, can have really impactful results?
I have a lot of pride in getting to be from Sioux Falls. We live in a very generous community, a place where people really do want to help and take care of each other. We have so many good examples of philanthropy, whether it's the year in, year out, United Way campaigns, whether it's some of the efforts around the holidays for extra food and clothing and toy giveaways. There's a lot of great examples. So it's nice to be able to call on and be reminded that we're at a place where people do respond when there are needs before them.
What are some of the trends that you are seeing from donors that they are expecting or wanting?
I feel like I'm hearing more donors asking questions.
Okay.
Where is the greatest need? What should I be doing right now? Just thinking in general about that. You know, there's still some donors that are thinking about maybe kind of big signature projects that they want to be a part of that are sort of a legacy they're leaving for the community. But at the same time, those folks are thinking about, you know, how are we doing at the food banks, things like that at the moment.
Does an urgent need at a food bank take money away from another long-term project? Is the capacity expand? Does the pie get bigger? Or are there more people asking for the same slices?
It's probably a little bit of both, to be honest. I am always believe that the pie can get bigger. I think that most of us could probably do more if we dug deeper. I do know that there's sometimes some fatigue amongst the usual donors that give to everything. And so there's a little bit of both that, and it's part of the challenge in the, for those of us that work for nonprofits, it's tempting to go to those that always say yes, but we have to keep building that base of more people that would see themselves as a part of the solution when there are challenges in a community.
All right. Well, people are listening and people are tuned into something and saying, well, this has never been really, I'm not a philanthropist. That's for wealthy people.
Yeah.
But I know there's needs in my community, whether it's in Sioux Falls or someone who's listening from rural South Dakota right now. What do you want to say to them about stepping into that space?
I think it's important that we don't ever give ourselves, I won't say the excuse, but let herself off the hook because there's someone wealthier than we are. That to think about generosity for yourself first and challenge yourself about giving there. You know, for those that do have more means, that they're going to have a different kind of question or maybe a different dollar amount. But I feel like it's important we celebrate that generosity no matter where the decimal point is on that gift. Part of it is the act of a community taking care of its fellow friends and neighbors. Mm. And if we can start there, and if everybody could do what they could, I think there's enough. So I think that's how it's a start. I really think one of the challenges is we get busy, and sometimes our lives are, there's a lot of distance between us and those in need. And I think that can be, it can be easy just to kind of become maybe a little oblivious, a little unaware of some of the challenges. And And it's a little easier to have an activity if that's where we're at.
So for nonprofit organizations that you work with, what are you hearing from them right now as far as trends? Are their needs going up? Are their federal funding might be going down if they were connected to federal funds in some ways? What are you hearing?
Yeah, it's been a downward trend of funding from governmental sources for several years. Yeah. After COVID, some of those dollars expired. Certainly in the last year, there have been federal grants not renewed or programs changed. I think most people are probably aware that in the current moment, there's a lot of folks short on their SNAP benefits, and so there's more pressure on food pantries and food banks. So those things are all happening right now. At the same time, they're also seeing an increase in need, that there are more people that are asking for food assistance. And so that's a tough spot for those organizations.
So you say some of those dollars expired, but were they new COVID dollars and it's a reset to 2019, 2018 timeframe, or is something else happening here?
It's a little bit nuanced based upon each organization, but there were a lot of one-time dollars that came out. And as an organization, if you have those dollars, you want to put them to work. It's hard when money is not recurring. And so when you've used up those dollars, you were able to do good, but then you have this gap that exists. And again, it's different by different program and organization, but that's what I think some of them are seeing.
The need did not decline then.
If anything, the need was increasing while post-COVID. Some of these things were going up. Yes.
Okay. What can donors look for as far as transparency, outcomes? How do you measure that my donation is going to something that has the impact that I want? So I'm looking to meaningfully connect my community. I'm taking time to think about my own generosity, regardless of, where I'm at, trying not to make excuses for, somebody else will do more because they have more. What can I do? And now I'm saying, I want to go to the right place that actually has impact. I want this money and this donation to make a difference. What am I looking for?
First off, I would give local, because you're going to be closer to those organizations. Ideally, we're volunteering, we're having a connection, we know somebody. We can maybe see a little bit more closely the kind of work an organization is doing if we're looking for it. I think sometimes in the nonprofit space, we're going to have to acknowledge it's really hard to track outcomes.
Sure.
And I think that sometimes we just need to be generous anyway and then take more time to get to know an organization. I think that's part of it. We want to make sure dollars are being put to good use. When it comes to, is there a ratio or expenses? Boy, every organization's a little different. Some places can raise money more easily than others. Those things are going to be hard to compare across the board. I think the best thing we can do is try to give to a place where we can have eyes on it, where we read their newsletter, go to look at their website, some of those basic things. I could talk about how you could pull their tax returns and look at all
sure.
of it.
Yeah.
I don't know that that really helps, and in some ways gets in the way. As the dollar amounts start getting larger, usually those organizations are going to reach out to you directly. Mm-hmm. And then you have a lot of opportunities to ask questions to them at that point in time.
Yeah, and they should be able to tell their own story in a way that makes sense to you. Yeah,
absolutely. And also then you can ask them for, hey, what evidence can you give me that you're doing mm-hmm. this well? I think most organizations are doing a tremendous job. And especially as we come to year end, starting with giving them the benefit of the doubt is probably a good place to start.
Yeah. I want to talk about the holiday guide here. But first, when we talk about the end of some kind of government funding, can philanthropy fill the gap of the United States government funding? And where would the shortages or opportunities or obstacles be?
When you look at the scope of federal funding, I don't have the exact numbers, but you could spend down every foundation dollar and not fill that gap. And so if those dollars are going away, I don't think philanthropy can fill that whole gap. I think that there will be a moment of things will look different. Organizations are going to have to decide, do they deliver some services different than they have? Do they partner with others? There's going to be change if those dollars go away. My hope is that philanthropy can help meet some of those basic needs, can help organizations as they plan for how do we do it different and kind of create time to build that strategic plan to do things in a new reality.
Let's talk about the Holiday Guide, because this is put out a publication of your foundation. And it's trying to make local giving, as you said, Start Local, a little bit easier. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, this is the first time we've done it. And we've had something on our website for a couple years called the Giving Depot, where we allow or we make space for nonprofits to go post things that they're raising money for at the time. And it's just a spot for them to get to speak to the general public. And it's been fun to hear some of them getting gifts as a result of it. We encourage donors to give directly to the organization, so it's not coming through the foundation. But we're just the goal of this guide, the goal of that website, is to put ideas in front of all of us. And so back to when I was talking about that distance between where our daily life is and where some of the needs are, hopefully this gives us a glimpse and closes that gap and says, hey, this is something we could do. I'm inspired here. My hope is if someone makes a gift there, that it wouldn't stop there. They would maybe get to know that organization. Yeah. And maybe they're a place that they would support year after year. But the idea is just to spark that giving. This is the time of year where we do tend to think about charity. We used to get calls in the office, hey, we're having a Christmas party for our office. Where should we give? And instead of whatever's on my mind, this is something that we can make available to everybody to say, here's some ideas, great places to start.
Yeah. And broken down throughout are small goals. $50 will fund school supplies for one student for this organization, to a $400,000 goal. You get to kind of go through and parse out where you might want to participate and how much. So there's something for big and small.
Yeah, I think even when you look at most of them, those organizations would all be grateful for even smaller gifts if that's what's possible.
Yeah.
There's some big ideas in there if someone's looking for those too.
Yeah. What are some of the trends that you're looking for in the future? How can we build out a broader donor base in an era of rising expectations?
I think the hardest thing is it's hard to get through. There's a lot of noise. I mean, it's hard for a nonprofit to get their message out. I think the biggest thing is donors need to really get to know the causes they support, like get closer. And if they can, go deeper. You know, if you could give more, take the causes you've been giving and add some more to that. That to me would be the best thing someone could do at this moment.
And there's joy in that.
There should be, yes. Right? Like giving's the very best when it matches what we care about and we believe in. And I think that we get a unique opportunity to participate in the work of these organizations through our giving. So yeah, there should be joy.
That is CEO Andy Patterson with the Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation. Now, one of the organizations listed in their holiday guide is called Midwest Street Medicine. I talked with co-founder Melissa Ditburner recently about her work in bringing services to people where they live when they live on the streets.
Oh, man. I talk about barriers all the time, and I feel like every now and then I just see another barrier. So, you know, society is not set up to catch people when they fall. And so it could look like, well, go get a job. You know, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, even when you don't have boots. But what does it look like to get a job? You need an ID. You need a bank account if you get that job. You need a phone number, an email address. A lot of people cannot hang on to a phone. Phones get stolen. People get beat up. Sexual assaults happen. All these different things that compile for them to have other traumatic experiences. Today I drove on the way here and I saw two officers in a fire truck, and I said to my crew, I'm like, man, it's just continuously traumatic event after traumatic event, seeing your friends get taken away in the ambulance, being arrested for things that might be, you know, something that you could have not had happen had you been housed, right? So just all these different traumatic things that are happening that we don't think about. People don't have time and space to grieve. You can't sleep anywhere outside and it be okay. You have to walk all the time. People have trench foot. They're losing toes. They're losing fingers. They're sick. They get dismissed back to the streets when they have ostomy bags, or people that have had brain surgery, or they have a wound vac. Where do you plug in a wound vac if you're living on the street? There's just all these barriers that people don't see unless they see it, right? Which is why we oftentimes will invite people who want to make change out on rounds with us. Like, once you've seen what it's like and you feel that, you don't ever unsee it.
You can find the Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation's holiday guide online. I'll put a link up on our website at sdpb.org. Copies are also available in this Friday's print edition of the Dakota Scout. You can find that on newsstands and at free drop-off sites across the city of Sioux Falls. That's our show for today. We hope that it serves you. You can share interviews you care about with your friends from our website, sdpb.org/inthemoment. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.